Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Jordan from Federal Way, Washington.
And it's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. And we noticed that going through the Gospels, the Good News, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is step by step. We learned this from Ivan Panins, who was Einstein's math teacher. But we've gone to Ivan Panin's kindergarten class in Bible math, and that includes, let's say, six-year-old. And he made a statement that all of the scriptures are mathematics. It's like when you look at a snowflake, and they even have a new math that actually explains snowflakes and the shape of them and why they look the way they do. It's a beautiful math. And I wish I'd had it when I was doing engineering. But we're going to keep all this at a sixth grade level. We're going to think, okay, so this guy that taught math, so we're maybe in the sixth grade at the most. And this is how we deal with the Bible. Sixth grade level. Easy. 11 years old, where things, learning is really exciting. You're always learning new things. And he told us that each of the Gospels has a theme. The first one is about Jesus being the king. Because his first statement is, for one thing, to change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. The kingdom of the heavens in the plural is at hand. And then he told everybody to change your mind. You need a different way of thinking. He also said that the book of Mark was once a person is filled with the knowledge and also has the Holy Spirit and has the ability to be able to give out what he has, not just give out himself, that doesn't work, but if we're able to give out to others about this kingdom, about this new kingdom, that we become servants and we are expected to give it out to others. Freely you have received, freely give. And the interesting thing about a servant is that they do everything immediately. Well, this Greek word, euthys, which means immediately, is found at the very beginning of this chapter 15. It's actually found, this is the 40th time this word is found. It's everywhere. There are 15 chapters that we are at now, and this is now 40 times. That's a lot of times per chapter that this word immediately is found. Like if you go into a restaurant, you want to be waited on quickly. You don't want your food to be cold. You're hungry, you'd like service, and you'd like to be fed a nice warm meal. And so Jesus does everything immediately. Actually, his being delivered up happened immediately. Judas Iscariot gave Jesus over immediately. He did it immediately. And then immediately when Peter denied Jesus, the cock crowed. And it said, you will do this three times before the cock crows. So this one starts off with this immediately. Jesus has been given over to be sacrificed by Judas Iscariot, led by the chief priest, led by the religious people of the day. It says the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, and in some places, the lawyers. It shows who his enemy, who delivered him up to death, what were the religious people, supposedly leaders of the church. We are in Mark 15, 1 through 15 is the context.
And straightway in the morning, the chief priest with the elders and scribes and the whole Sanhedrin held a consultation and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him up to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, saying, "Thou sayest." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? See how many things they accuse you of?" But Jesus answered nothing more, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he would release to them one prisoner whom they ask of him. And the one called Barabbas was bound with the insurgents, men who in the insurrection had committed murder. And the crowd went up and began to ask him to do as he was wont them to do. And Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release to you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived, for envy, that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd, that he should rather release Barabbas to them. And Pilate again answered and said to them, "What then shall I do to him whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "What evil, pray, has he done?" But they cried out exceedingly, "Crucify him." And Pilate, wishing to content the crowd, released to them Barabbas and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified.
We decided to read through the Gospels. That's where we started doing this radio show and make sure that we're students again, and we keep looking for things. We are trying to find out anything that we have missed. We want to look at all the details. Maybe you, even as a new person that is listening to this for the first time, has seen something we haven't seen in this. We're inviting everybody to join in on this. We consider ourselves not teachers, not chief priests, not rulers, but fellow students. Now, if you are a chief priest and a ruler of the people, or an elder, if you consider yourself an elder, have you quit learning? And so that's my question to you. But like even, you know, in your profession, and I happen to do surveying and engineering, and you do planes, airplanes? You do, are you in the manufacturing?
Yeah,
engineering?
I work in manufacturing and operations.
Uh-huh. And Andy is in sales and business development. What did you do?
Gosh, it's horrible. I'll just reduce it to ashes. Sales.
Okay. And Steve?
Like graphic design work.
Graphic design. Mm-hmm. Didn't you feel like you always had to keep learning? The day you quit learning, you turn flat. And actually, your attitude will change. You'll become bossy. You'll not be considerate of others. Mm-hmm. But if you stay a student and a servant, which is Mark says, everything is fresh. And what have you seen? Have we seen any new things going through these chapters in Matthew and then Mark? We're not going to go ahead and do Luke and John yet because we haven't gone there. But have you learned something every day when you've gone through these together?
Yeah, I mean, the more we read this together and talk about this and look at it with different viewpoints, it's shedding more light on that.
I've been learning a lot. This is very interesting.
And we're using a certain technique to do this that was not something that we came up with. We decided to go through this like Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Well, we're going two by two into the Bible. And actually, there's four of us here, so there's two by twos, or however you want to count those two by twos. You know, there's four people, and there's so many combinations of two that you can get from that. So we're like two by two by two it's all over the place. And so in doing this, we found that God is blessing us and letting us see things that we didn't see before, because we have it under this pattern that Jesus told us to do.
And as a student, we're just reminding people of things we've learned so far in this, but we started off really emptying ourselves at the beginning to try to put on this idea, trying to get it into our heads and so on, that have we missed anything? Is there something that I think is more important, but really with God, this is way more important, and my focus is not right. I want to know what the Lord wants me to learn at this time, and what are we missing? What am I missing? We found out we were missing some things when we went through it, and I've been reading the Bible 53 years, and Andy, 40 some years.
Yep.
Jordan?
25.
15.
But this is refreshing to do it this way, because the Gospels are different. They're the good news. It's like Ivan Panin said, there's like steps. So you have to start with Matthew. Once you get to understand Matthew, you can go on to Mark. And then once you understand Mark, you can go on to Luke. And once Luke, John. We learned a different way. We learned by doing the fundamental principles, learning about repentance from dead works, of faith on God, the doctrine of baptisms, there's more than one, laying on of hands, the laying on of hands, and it means exactly the laying on of hands, epitithemi, to lay upon of cheer. Chiropodist is a hand doctor, and eternal judgment, and it says this will we do if God permit, but this is the first time we decided to test this and look at these Gospels and start over again and ask ourselves, am I missing anything? I want to know everything I should know at this time about Matthew, about Mark, but in order. Well, I'm going to go the order. So we decided to test it. And what have we found out about trying this out, Andy?
Oh, things that are sitting right in front of us that we don't know are there. And the Holy Spirit brings out things. And we determined when we were going to do this, we talked on the phone. Gilbert and I talked on the phone, and he'd asked me if I was going to look into something. And I go, no, I'm not going to look into anything. I'm just going to come and be there. And Gil goes, well, okay, I'm going to come and be that way too. So we decided, we agreed that we wouldn't try to get ahead. We wouldn't try to study into anything more. Although for years, if you read the Bible, you've read these scriptures hundreds of times. So it's not a matter of that. But we're just coming with an open mind to see what the Holy Spirit would bring out as we came together two by two. Something that simple.
We want to think like God, because we're his sons. How often have you, like with your dad or with your mom, wanted to be around them and learned the things that they'd learned in life, seen things from their perspective, not always things from your perspective? This is, I think, probably the closest that I could tell you why we wanted to do this, is make sure I'm looking at all the perspectives, not just a little narrow-minded me. I wanted to know what Andy had to think about it, and Steve, and Jordan, and Dan, and Pat, and the others have had, Brett, what they've thought about this, and others. Now, but we're doing an experiment with our 100, 200 or so on friends, and we're asking them to do this too. We're not releasing this radio show until we hear them out. So this is only going to be released on the radio. They're not going to be allowed to listen to it because it's not in any of our hometowns, because we want them to untainted, not influenced by us, to see what they see. It's the beginning of us writing a book, If You Met Jesus on the Street. And basically, would you know him? Could you be his friend? Would you be able to just talk right off the bat? Are you going to be ashamed? If You Met Jesus on the Street is the name of the book. A man started this years ago and wrote about four pages of some ideas. And we decided to put it to a test because what we want to do is, like in Matthew, Jesus says, change your mind and come and follow me. So we're putting out to everybody, come walk with us as we follow Jesus. What are you going to see? What do you hear out of the Word of God? We're challenging people to come and follow Jesus. Paul said, come follow me as I follow Jesus, but that's to people who are believers. I'd rather you follow Jesus and you can walk with us and you could see for yourself. But the ultimate is to follow Jesus. And we'll sure help you as best we can to get to that point. So you could follow us as we follow the Lord, but you're going to have to think for yourself. The ultimate is you're not following us, you're following Jesus. If we veer a little bit off, maybe you'll see what's exactly the best, the highest and the best with the Lord. Matthew 15.
Mark.
Mark 15. Little subtle reminder.
Subtle as a heart attack. Yeah,
16 through 32.
And the soldiers led him away within the court, which is the praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaiting a crown of thorns, and they put it on him, and they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote his head with a reed and spat upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off from him the purple and put on him his garments. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compel one passing by, Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, that he might bear his cross. And they bring him into a place Golgotha, which is being interpreted place of a skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And they crucify him and part his garments among them, casting lots upon them what each should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And the passerbys railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ha, you that destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him among themselves with the scribes, said, He saved others, he himself cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, that we might see and believe. And those who crucified him reproached him. And it was the sixth hour was come. Darkness came over the whole earth until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, when they heard it, said, See, he calls Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, Let it be, let us see whether Elijah comes down to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud voice and expired, and the veil of the sanctuary was rent in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood over against him, saw that he had expired, he said, Truly this man was God's son. And there was also women beholding from afar. Among them were both Miriam Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Little and Joseph and Salome, who, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered to him, and many other women that came up with them unto Jerusalem.
You read two contexts there.
Got excited.
You know, I'm actually glad you did that because that's really the whole story. Oh. Because look at what's the beginning word in verse 33.
And?
Kai. It's a link. I actually think the Lord had you do that because to break that up is just not. And they've got another and in 42. Why don't you finish it? What do you think?
Sure. And when even was now come, since it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a counselor of honorable estate, who also himself was looking for the kingdom of God. And he boldly went in unto Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled as if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, asked him if he were already dead. And when he learned it of the centurion, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And he brought a linen cloth, and taking him down, wound him in a linen cloth, and laid him in the tomb, which had been hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid.
Wow. So here
that story just takes the wind right out of me.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. Just reading that.
It still is amazing. And if we go back to the context we read prior, it says for even Pilate, who is always betrayed as he's the one that killed Jesus. No, he was the one that did the act of turning him over to be crucified. But behind the whole thing is the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin held counsel and bound Jesus and carried him away, delivered him to Pilate. They were not going to get their hands dirty. They let somebody else do it. And Pilate realized, he perceived that for envy, the chief priest delivered him up. The religious people were stirred by the chief priest following a man, the elders and scribes and lawyers and Sanhedrin and so on. That's the lawyers. And the soldiers led him away within the court. And then they mocked him and abused him, and they crucified him. And this is verse 38, when the veil of the temple, Jesus uttered with a loud voice and expired in verse 37. He breathed his last, and the veil of the sanctuary was torn top to bottom. And that is the difference when Jesus expired, when he went we passed away. That's the difference between the Old and the New Testament. So here you have 15 and a half chapters about the Old Testament around the time of the Old Testament law, and you just have one and a half chapter in Mark, maybe two. Well, two pages, two pages, one and a half chapters are in the New Testament. And they put that label on the Bible that it's the New Testament. But the New Testament did not come into without the death of the testator. New Testament is of no effect. The Old Testament is still in effect. So the New Testament started in verse 37 of chapter 15.
And I remember in an earlier talk we had, you said that Jesus was God turned his back on him, or I don't know if that's exactly the way you worded it, but I think that's what he's saying here. Darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. So for I don't know how long that was, so much that Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" And I think that's when you were talking about having a broken heart.
When God turned his back on his son, Jesus. Yeah.
Because he had become everybody's sin at this point and the sin had to die.
And God the Father cannot look on sin.
So complete desperation, because he'd been praying to God to perhaps deliver him if this was his will earlier, just the night before. The one thing I do remember reading the Gospels is that Jesus had a custom, and it doesn't always come out and say it, but almost every day he would get up real early before everyone else and go and pray and spend time with God. And now he knows he's alone.
He who knew no sin became sin. He took our sins upon him to save us.
Mm-hmm.
He did the ultimate. Now, the only person that shows any kind of remorse, kindness, sincerity, or integrity of heart is the centurion in verse 39. And when the centurion who stood over against him saw that he had thus expired, that Jesus had died, when the veil was rent, he uttered a loud voice and he expired. The centurion said, he said, truly, this man was God's son. A military man, a centurion, likely a Roman, not a Jew, not a religious person. It is a foreigner, a military guy. So isn't it interesting when men—
It affected him, didn't it?
When soldiers go to war, and I watched them in that special, that movie that was a reenactment of a particular assault that they had to do to take out the enemy. You can see that there is something very special about these guys, isn't there, Steve?
Mm-hmm. That builds a bond between them.
They have a bond between them. There's a certain honesty, a loyalty that you don't see with politicians.
It cuts through all the other stuff.
Or religious people. There is a bond where they don't talk bad about each other. You watch how they are bound together. And look at this army dude who's not even a Jew. Isn't that strikes me. And he said, truly, he was the only honest one there. This was the Son of God. His own disciples had fled. Here's this army guy.
One of the things about soldiers, and I recently read, not to make this about a book, but they, when they have to go out and do warfare, their entire life is entrusted to the person next to them. And there's a closeness that comes with having that kind of a bond with somebody that you're... that's how I'm understanding what you're saying, is there's something about him where he's getting it, or at least a glimpse of this. Because Jesus is doing that for us at this very moment.
And who are the next people around Jesus after the centurion?
Women.
The women.
Isn't that interesting? Where are the men? Well, they fled.
Well, it's interesting, too, because the centurion, it says, was standing right in front of him, really close to him. And then the next one is the women looking on from a distance. So that had an effect on him because he was really close. To hear him breathe his last, you have to be really close to hear that.
You know, if you were standing right in front of Jesus and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What is his only statement to?
The Father.
God. It was nothing about the people that did this to him. It was nothing about the pain he was going through. He was setting himself apart as somebody that is unknown, that the soldier just was overwhelmed with that. I could see that.
And it looks like we've run out of time again. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.